I was just thinking a moment ago about songwriter Victor Miller said. He said that one of the ways that a Jew can achieve greatness is by looking at another Jew and recognizing the fact that another Jew, and really another person, every person is created B'Tzelem Elokim. I was just thinking about that a moment ago. It's not in my notes, which I have here. This is really amazing. This is unbelievable. To just see so many people coming together who just want to feel connected to these days, it's an amazing, amazing thing. Rishus, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Judah, if he's here, Rabbi Baum, Rabbi Neuberger, if he's still here. I want to thank a lot of people who worked very hard to make this to continue to happen. Thank the leadership at Beth Abraham and Keter Torah. Thank Jason Suss, who worked to bring Rav Judah to the neighborhood for Shabbos. To thank Daniel and David and many people who came early to help set up. I hope there's still enough seats for everyone at this point. I apologize for those who are standing. There's a long list of sponsors. I don't have it in front of me, but you know who you are, and we thank you so much for helping to make this happen. And of course, like I say every year, it's not possible to do this without every single person who's here and every person who's in the room. You look at a big tzibur like this, it's easy to get lost in it and to think, what's one more person, what's one less person? But it matters to Hashem, and it matters to us. Whether we even know who's here, maybe you'll meet someone later this week, and you'll only then realize that you're actually together tonight. It's a beautiful thing to come together. I feel an achrayus, and I say it, I've said it for a number of years now. This is really the 11th year of something that began in someone's basement in Teaneck. 40 guys or so that first year. Tafshin Samach Tes. A group of chevra that got together and said, we want to do something a little different. We want to sing a little more, we want to daven a little louder, a little stronger. And it's just amazing to think how a small group of people who did, really l'shem shemayim, because they just wanted something more, but to feel a little bit more during these days, were able to create something that's happening here tonight with easily over 1,000 people. And it reminds me of what the Chafetz Chaim said in explaining a line from the Zohar. The Chafetz Chaim took a line from the Zohar. The Zohar says that afilu k'nishtachad, even a single group, has the ability, when they come together in the right way, if they're shomrin midas hashalom karaoi, if they come together, a small kanishta, a single kehila. Tonight, Baruch Hashem, we have two shuls in the neighborhood and many, many more people from the neighborhood, from outside the neighborhood. When people come together in the right way, yesh b'kocham lehevi Mashiach tzidkeinu. It's shayach for them to bring Mashiach. And the Chafetz Chaim said, a simple equation. If 10 Jews, holy Jews, who are a little misguided, could be the Meraglim, and could create a Tisha B'Av, and create a Chorban, if 10 Jews who are just a little bit off in their perspective of how to see Eretz Yisrael could be the underpinning of all of Jewish suffering in history, so Alachas Kam V'Kamo, when 10 Jews come together for the right reason, when 50 Jews come together for the right reason, when 200 Jews, when 500, when 1,000. It's not just a numbers game. But Tshuva B'Rabim means something. When a lot of Jews come together in the right way for the right reason, it's a very, very special thing by the Borei Olam. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Kenesiyah Shehi L'Shem Shemayim Sofa L'Iskayim. Any gathering that's done L'Shem Shemayim has lasting power. The fact that we're still going strong and growing after 11 years means we're doing something right. This is good in the eyes of Hashem. But it's so important that we just remind ourselves what we're doing here tonight. It's not a concert. I don't even know if it's a kumzitz. I'm not even sure if that's the right word for it. It's certainly not a lecture or a talk. It's Jews who are coming together to try to awaken ourselves to the beginning of the Yom Nora. But Menachem Zemba, the great Menachem Zemba, one of the great Polish Gaonim, a tzaddik, a kadosh, a tahor, murdered brutally at the young age of 58, 59 by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in the Warsaw Ghetto. Rav Menachem Zemba, as a young man, went to the first Aguda convention, Knesset Gedola of the great Rabbanim. And he was a young person at that time, at that first Knesset Gedola, that first great gathering. And he was appointed the honorary secretary. And when he came back for the second one, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, Rabban Shel Yisrael, the leader of world Jewry, said, unless Rav Menachem Zemba maintains his position as the secretary, then I can't lead the entire Knesset Gedola. That's how Rav Menachem Zemba was seen, even as a young person, in the eyes of the greatest of the great. And by the time the third Knesset Gedola took place in Marienbad in Austria in 1937, Rav Menachem Zemba was the main speaker. And he got up and he said, I want to remind everyone, it was such a chashuv tzibur. Such a chashuv tzibur. Gedolim, Rabbanim from all over Europe. Such an amazing gathering about the most pressing issues. Tzaddikim coming together. Rav Menachem Zemba got up and he said, I want to quote the Kotzker. The Kotzker Rebbe said on that Mishnah, again I mentioned a few moments ago, Kol Kenesiyah, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, in Pirkei Avos, Kol Kenesiyah Shei L'Shem Shemayim Sofa L'Eskayim, a gathering that's done L'Shem Shemayim has lasting power. V'chol Kenesiyah She'einu L'Shem Shemayim Einu Sofa L'Eskayim. And if it's not done for the right reason, if our Kavanah is a little bit off, then the whole thing could fall apart. And the Kotzker Rebbe said the following Lashon. The Kotzker Rebbe said, Ki gam Kenesiyah L'Shem Shemayim Tzricha Lios L'Shem Shemayim. That even a gathering that's done for the right reason has to make sure, you have to make sure that it's done for the right reason. What was the Kotzker Rebbe saying? What was the great Gaon Rav Menachem Zemba saying to a very chashuv tzibur like the one who's here tonight? He was saying that it's not enough to just say, wow, we have a lot of people here, that's great. We have Rabbi Judah Michel, we have Rabbi Eitan Katz, we have Rav Tanchum Cohen. We have a lot of men and women who are striving for holiness. For tshuva. But we have to remind ourselves that what we're doing here is a very, very serious thing. It's a very important thing. It's a very powerful thing. So let's spend a couple of minutes as we get ourselves ready, just to make sure that what we're doing already, L'Shem Shemayim, is done in a Kotzker Dika L'Shem Shemayim type of way. My mother gave me a good Ma'ar Makom. My mother's a big Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg fan. I would say probably the second biggest Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg fan in the room. The other one knows who she is. And Rabbi Goldberg said from Boca, Rabbi Goldberg from Boca Raton shared in a shiur a couple of weeks ago a very sweet story. He said he took his 6-year-old son, Shai, to his first Little League practice. He has older daughters. I guess they weren't interested in playing baseball. It was the first time he took one of his kids to a baseball practice. And he said he got there, and the kids were very cute, they were very sweet, and the coach was very encouraging, guiding them along. And he said it was his son's turn to step up to home plate to take a swing at the tee. He hits the ball, and the coach says, good, good, run to first. And he takes off, he points the kid down the first baseline, and he's running to first base, and as he gets to first base, he says to him, keep going. So the kid takes off into the outfield, just goes straight past first base. No, come back, you gotta turn. So he comes back, he rounds the base, he's heading towards second. He comes around second base, and the coach is barking his orders in a loving way, and he says to him, keep going, keep running, keep going until you get home. Keep running until you're home. The kid takes another couple of steps and stops dead in his tracks and looks at the coach sheepishly and honestly and says, I don't know how to get home from here. I'm not sure how to get home from here. The coach then went on to explain to him exactly how baseball works. Rabbi Goldberg shared this in the context of a Jew longing for a return to Eretz Yisrael, which of course we think about tonight also. But I want to speak about that tonight in the context of tshuva. That everything that we're trying to do tonight, the tachlis of everything that we're trying to do tonight, is just to come home, which shouldn't be such a complicated thing. Rav Yosef of Amshinov, the third Rebbe of Amshinov, used to get up before Tekiyos, by Tekiyos Shofar. He would quote the famous Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva about the Shofar waking us up. And then he would say, I want to offer a peirush on Tshuva. What does the word Tshuva even mean? The Shofar is waking us up to Tshuva. Uri Yishenem Yishenaschem. What is Tshuva? And he said, Tshuva is Mever Tzurek HaHaymish. Tshuva is a return to one's home. That's what tshuva is. A return to a cozy home. It's hard to translate the word Hamish or Haimish, depending on your accent. It's a hard word to translate. But everyone knows that being home is the best feeling in the world. Being Hamish, being home, coming back to the Rabbono Shalom is the greatest feeling in the world. The problem, I think, that's so obvious to us when we think about tshuva is that there's a part of us that says, Rabbono Shalom, we've been away from the house for a long time. I even ran this by my daughter today. I asked her, I said, just to be sure, like when you go to camp for the summer, she's gone to sleepaway camp the last couple of years. I just wanted to remember, it's been a long time since I went to sleepaway camp as a child. I said, when you come home at the end of the summer, it's like the greatest feeling in the world, but it's a little bit weird, right? So she said, yeah, it's a little strange. You're so excited to come home. You can't wait to enter into your house, the smell of your home. May not be the greatest smell in the world, but it's your home. And your bed, there may be more comfortable beds in the world, but it's your bed. And it's your kitchen, and it's your bathroom. And it's your backyard, no matter how big or small it is. The problem is that when a Jew's away from their Rabbono Shalom for a little bit too long, when we've left the house, and we're not sure exactly what it's going to be like to come home, we have this strange anxiety. It's so strange. It's so natural to come home. Like Rav Judah was saying before, it should be so natural. It should be so normal to come home. Yet there's a part of us that's not exactly sure what's going to happen when we get home. What's Avinu Shabbat Shemayim going to say when after being away for so long and not bothering to call, and not bothering to write, not bothering to reach out, all of a sudden, look who's at the door again. Kedalim ukarashim defaknu dalasecha. We show up tonight and sheepishly we're tapping on the door, even though we know the code, we know the combination. At what point does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say, you're not welcome here? I don't need you coming back just because you ran out of money or because you got stuck and you missed your flight and you missed your train. We're nervous that Rabbeinu Shalom is going to laugh at us. There was a bacher who came to the Klausenberger Rebbe with tears in his eyes. He said, Rebbe, they threw me out of yeshiva. So he says, they threw you out of yeshiva? He took him by the hand. Takes him to the mashkiach, tells the boy, sit outside, I'll speak to the mashkiach. Klausenberger goes into the room with the mashkiach, and he says, Nu, what's the problem? Did he throw a bachar out of yeshiva? How did he throw a bachar out of yeshiva? So he starts to tell him, he did this and he did that. Rebbe, you can't keep such a child in yeshiva, it's not going to work. There's no way, he's listing off all these averos, he's a terrible hashpa on the other bachar, there's no way he can stay in yeshiva. So the Klausenberg Rebbe says, I spoke to him. He's right outside. We walked together here. He promised me he's not going to do it anymore. So the Mashkiach looks at the Klausenberg Rebbe, who he's looking at as some naive, foolish man, instead of the tzaddik who has different eyes and can see more deeply. And he says, no, Rebbe, you don't understand. He's promised me 1,000 times he's going to change. And the Klausenberg Rebbe grabbed his white beard. I ran this story by my daughter also. She said, Daddy, are you going to grab your beard when you tell the story? So I'm grabbing my beard in case you can't see on the back. It's not white. He grabbed his beard and he said, do you know how many thousands of times I promised the Rabbono Shalom I was going to change? Thousands of times I made promises to Hashem that I'm going to change throughout the course of my life. So according to what you're saying, he said to the Mashkiach, so I might as well give up, right? According to your logic, I should also be kicked out of yeshiva, the yeshuv of the world, and just surrender and say, I'm never going to make it. Because how many times can I promise the Rabbono Shalom? Needless to say, the Mashkiach got the message and took him back into yeshiva. But there's a part of us that's so not sure. We stand at that door. We're standing at that door and we're knocking. Kedolim ukarashim. Not just because we're poor in mitzvot, but the knock itself is a little bit weak. Because we're just not sure of ourselves. We're not confident. Maybe Hashem's had enough of us. Maybe Hashem's not going to open the door. But then we remind ourselves tonight, as we come to knock on the door of Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, we remind ourselves that any normal parent, Rachmana Litzlan, there are some parents who won't fit into this category, and you hear tragic stories, but any normal parent, when a child comes to the door, when a child comes home, it's the greatest simcha in the world. It doesn't matter how long that child has been away from the home. It doesn't matter how insensitive the child has been, not to call, not to write, not to be in touch. How many sleepless nights the parent had, it doesn't matter. When that child comes to the door, you open the door. and you invite that child in. And there's nothing more that you want than to be able to embrace that child. Tonight we begin to free ourselves from that misunderstanding. It's all a perception of the Yetzer Hara. That maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to walk through that door. That maybe we can't get to Yom Kippur because we can't even get through the opening door. L'cha Hashem etztakov, alanu boshes aponim. We're too embarrassed. We don't know where to begin the conversation. We want to talk Diburei Emes like Rav Judah was describing. We want to be real. We want to be straight. But we're scared Hashem's going to laugh in our face. Tonight we free ourselves from that trap of the Yetzer Hara that tells us, what if the parent has changed the combination? What if you're not welcome in the home anymore? Tonight we remind ourselves that when we just release ourselves from that shackle of the Yetzer Hara just a little bit, it's so obvious for us where we want to be and where we need to be. Rav Mordechai Chaim of Slonim used to tell a mashal. He said, imagine a fellow who owned a rooster. A beautiful rooster, a healthy rooster. He took care of the rooster. He provided for the rooster. One day a ganav came and stole the rooster. And the ganav didn't really know how to take care of the rooster. And the healthy and robust rooster became thin and frail, to the point that the ganav said, this rooster is worthless. At this point, I might as well take it to the shochet to just finish it off. And he brings the rooster to the shochet, and it just so happens that the owner of the rooster, the real owner of the rooster, is also at the shochet that day. And he says, that's my rooster. And the ganav says, that's not your rooster. I remember your rooster. Your rooster was a big, plump rooster. A thin, frail, scrawny rooster. That's not your rooster. No? The shochet says, I'm not getting between the two of you. Take it to the Rav. So they go to the local Rav. And the rabbi says, okay, put down the rooster. And just take that little rope, that little tie off of its legs. And let's see what happens. Rav Mordechai Chaim of Slonim said, that's exactly what these days are about. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara says, you're not that child of the Borei Olam that Hashem envisioned. I've captured you. You're mine now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days gives us the opportunity to untie those shackles just a little bit and put ourselves down, so to speak, on the floor before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we know how to run home. We're not like Rav Ephraim Goldberg's six-year-old son who's trying to learn how to play baseball for the first time. I don't know how to get home from here. We know exactly how to get home from here. And honestly, Chevra, what other choice do we have? Is there another option? Does anyone have a better option? Is there something else we could be or should be doing now, other than returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I saw an amazing quote this past year from a poet, Robert Frost. And I filed it away. I said, this is what I want to talk about, Slicha. So if you like what I'm talking about, you can thank Robert Frost. It's from a poem called The Death of the Hired Man. And it captures everything I'm trying to say. Home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to take you in. We have to go there. There's no other option. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to take us in because any good parent is so eager to welcome a child home regardless of how long they've been away. We have to think for a second. What does tonight mean to us? What does tonight mean to Hashem? I'll tell you what I think tonight means to Hashem. Rav Chaim Weintraub is involved in Lev La'achim in Eretz Yisrael, and he created a branch of Lev La'achim that works specifically with high school age children, who the cure of experts, in quotation marks, say is the hardest group to reach. Once they've made their path for themselves, they've decided that a life of religious Jewry is not for them. It's the hardest group. It's the hardest group to get to. And he made a branch called Mischazkim. Now there's many branches in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, to try to be makariv some of the hardest cases. This Rav Chaim Weintraub and his wife had a little child, Shleimela, a three-year-old son. 3 years old, they take the child for his upshir, and it's a big simcha. It's a big celebration. The next day, he takes him, he wraps him in a talis, he takes him to cheder. The Rebbe's going to teach him the sweetness of Torah, all the potential, all the life, all the hope, all the expectations. They take him the following day in the afternoon to Gan, still transitioning to Cheder. And the little child is complaining to complaining to the mora, complaining to the ganenet, my head hurts, I don't feel well, call my mommy, call my ima. She tells the child to go lie down on a cot. She calls the mother's on her way to pick up the child. By the time the mother arrived, little Shlomo, little Weintraub, had returned his soul to his creator. A crazy tragedy, inconsolable parents, nothing to say, a horrible, horrible shiva. And as they're sitting shiva, all of a sudden, through the front door walks a group of these street kids. They're wearing yarmulkes out of respect for someone who they know is very concerned with their well-being. And they sit down to pay a shiva call. And he's very touched by it. And they say to Rav Chaim Weintraub, they say, This Shabbos, we're going to keep Shabbos. This Shabbos, we're not going to smoke on Shabbos. We're not going to drive on Shabbos. We're going to do whatever we think a Jew is supposed to do on Shabbos. This Shabbos, we're going to keep Shabbos. And all of a sudden, Rav Chaim Weintraub, who's a shell of his former self, mourning with his rebbetzin in the loss of their precious child, has such a big smile on his face. You know how much that means to me? To keep Shabbos, wow. Lilo Nishmas, my child, that these kids who never keep Shabbos, they're willing to put down their cigarettes for Shabbos, they're willing to try to keep a yarmulke on their head, to not drive, to not go to the movies. He said it means the world to me. Thanks them. They sit a few more minutes and they leave. And one of his friends who's sitting there on the side cynically says to him, Reb Chaim, it's very sweet, it's very cute, but let's be honest. So they'll keep one Shabbos. And then they're going to go back to their old ways, and you're going to pretend to keep trying to be makari of them. Like, what's actually changing? I mean, it's a nice gesture. It's very beautiful. They put on yarmulkes to come in to pay a shiva call. They obviously like you, and they have a lot of respect for you. But it's not like this is going to be the turning point in their life. And Rav Chaim said to him, you're so foolish. He said, let me ask you. Imagine if the Rabbeinu Sholem made me an offer that I could have my Shloimele back for one Shabbos. Do you know what I would give to have my son back for one Shabbos? I would give up my house. I would take on endless amounts of debts, whatever I needed to do. I would give away everything, anything and everything, to have my son back from the Olam Emes for one Shabbos. And then Rav Chaim said with tears in his eyes, but I can't. There's nothing I can do. There's no additional mortgage I could take. There's nothing I could do to get my child back. There's nothing I can do. The Rabbeinu Sholem has so many children who are also not coming home, who have also been away from the house for a long time. The Rabbeinu Sholem also wonders, are they ever going to come back? And he said, can you imagine the simcha I would have if my Shlomo walked through the door for one Shabbos and then left and I never saw him again? Can you imagine what that would mean to me? So he said, can you imagine what it means to Rabbeinu Sholem, a group of kids who usually smoke on Shabbos, usually drive on Shabbos, who usually eat macholos asuros on Shabbos, who go to the movies with their girlfriends on Shabbos. Can you imagine what it means to Rabbeinu Sholem and a whole group of them walk through the door after years and say, Rabbeinu Sholem, we're home for Shabbos? That we're back, we're home? Do you know what that means to Rabbeinu Sholem? And then Rav Chaim said to his cynical friend, he said, there is nothing I can do. There's absolutely nothing in the world that I could do to bring my Shloimele back for one Shabbos. But there's something I can do to help Hashem have his children come home for Shabbos. And you better believe that I'm going to do something about that. What are we doing tonight? What are we giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shuvu Banim Shovavim. We're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity on a Motzei Shabbos, when usually we leave after coming home for Shabbos, we made a choice tonight to stay with the Rabbeinu Sholem. The Rishonim talk about why we start Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. We're trying to extend the Shabbos. Many of us are still wearing the big day Shabbos that we wore today. We're trying to say to the Rabbeinu Sholem, we're here, we're back, we're home. And again, like Robert Frost said, that home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. We have to destroy that cynicism that says to us, and what if Hashem doesn't want us? What if Hashem's not interested in us coming home? That's what tonight means to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's 1,000 children who haven't called home in different ways in a long time, in the way that we're going to call home in a few minutes from now. And we're calling home. We're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're coming home. The whole family is coming back together. Klal Yisrael is coming back. We're coming back to spend time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does it mean to us? What does the Yetzer Hara say to us? Yetzer Hara is so clever. He's a melech, he's a zakin, he's a ksil, he fools us so easily. The Yetzer Hara says to us, and let's say you come home for Shabbos, let's say you come home for the Amnoram, let's say you're really, 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 really good, even though sometimes the Yetzer Hara makes us our worst during these days because of the anxiety and the pressures that come with these days. And what happens if we hit a grand slam and we know how to get around the bases and get back to home plate? What happens after? For most normal people, after Yom Kippur, halavai, the benching on that first bagel should be like the benching of, I don't know, Rosh Hashanah. Halavai, we should stay home for a significant period of time. The reality is most people on some level go back to their old ways. But I have an answer for that also. Rav Avram Palik was the Mashkiach Ruchani in Slobodka. And he said when he was a young person, he came to the Chazon Ish one time with exactly that question. What's the point of doing this every year? Because Lamaisa, and I'm not trying Chas V'Shalom to be negative, Halavai will make real changes in our life. But based on our track record, the complete overhaul that we're all dreaming of is not super likely. I bless all of us that we should do it. But there's a metzias that many of us will slip back somewhere to where we are. Halavai, we should be a little bit better. So Rav Avram Palak, as a young man, he came to the Chazon Ish and he said, Rebbe, what's the point of all of this? And the Chazon Ish looked at him straight in the face and the Chazon Ish said, do you think it's a small thing to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam for a couple of weeks? Dirshu Hashem behimatzo. Seek out Hashem when he's available, when he's ready to be found. So the Yetzer Hara is going to convince us to not be into it tonight because I may not be into it tomorrow. Or because I'm already nervous that the stretch after Tishrei through Cheshvan is going to be a little schleppy. That's what we're worried about now. Ribbono Shel Olam is inviting us in. Ribbono Shel Olam says, come, be hamish. That's what tshuva is, says Rav Yosef of Amshinov. That's the perish of the word tshuva. Be hamish, come home. Spend some time together. Do you think it's a small thing to be with Hashem for a couple of weeks? I want to end with a Gemara I was thinking about this week. A Gemara and one final story. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Gimel. Maseches Horios, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We're learning Avodah Zarah in Yeshiva. Horios comes right after Avodah Zarah. Maseches Horios, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, there's a Mishnah. Horios is all about the Beis Din HaGadol, the greatest rabbis, making mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. The Mishnah describes, a complicated Mishnah, the Mishnah describes, if Beis Din issued a psak, and Beis Din retracted the psak, and you didn't know that Beis Din has already sent out a letter saying, we made a mistake, the product we said was kosher, not kosher, this is chaylev, not shuman, you can't eat that, you didn't know, and you ate it because you were relying on Beis Din, that's where the whole Masechta begins. That's the first Mishnah, that's sort of where the Mishnah on Daf Gimel and Beis picks up. And the Mishnah discusses the reality of a person who may not know what Beis Din has issued, what Beis Din has changed their mind. So the Mishnah says that if a person is home, then presumably they heard what's going on in Beis Din. If the person is traveling overseas, they probably, in the good old days, didn't get the telegram, they didn't get the phone call, they didn't get the text message. They don't know that Beis Din has retracted their position. Rabbi Akiva says to Ben Azai, if a person is overseas, so then they don't know what's going on in Beis Din. And Ben Azai's questioning him on it. So the Gemara asks on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph from Maseches Horios, what's Ben Azai not getting? What is Ben Azai not understanding? A person's on the other side of the ocean. When they left, the Beis Din said, this is kosher, this is mutter, this is permitted. What doesn't he understand? What doesn't Ben Azai understand what Rabbi Akiva is saying? Ben Azai asked the question in the Mishnah, what's the difference between a person who's home and a person who's overseas? Ask the Gemara, what is Ben Azai not understanding? It's a very obvious difference between a person who's home and a person who's overseas. So the Gemara says in Daf Dalet, Hechzik b'derech ikabinayu. The machlokis is a person who's packing his bags, who's thinking about traveling overseas. Ben Azai says, Lamaisa, he's still home. He hasn't left. He hasn't changed locations. He's exactly where he was a few minutes ago. But Rabbi Akiva says the fact that he set his mind, that he's already considering being somewhere else, it's ki'ilu, he's somewhere else. The Baal Shem Tov used to say, the place where a person's mind is, that's where they are. This is a halachic proof for that idea. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That if a Jew sets his mind on traveling somewhere, it's ki'ilu in a certain sense, that's where he is. And therefore, when we direct ourselves tonight, when we point ourselves in the direction of the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we say tonight, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the first step to coming home. This is the first step to showing up at your doorstep. We're a little bit nervous, we're a little uncomfortable, but there's really no other option. Kedolim ukarashim defaknu delasecha. We're knocking on the door because we don't really have another option. Rav Shlomo Hoffman, one of the great Balei Eitzah in Eretz Yisrael, there's a beautiful volume they put out. He describes some of his conversations with the great tzaddikim he met over the course of his lifetime. And in that volume on page 67, it says that as he was learning in Chevron Yeshiva in 1938-1939, Rav Chatzkel Sarna stopped him one time, and he said to him, why do you look sad? He said, it's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So he said, where does it say that the Aseres Yemei Tshuva are supposed to look sad? So he says, the Rambam. He says, the Rambam says that what is tshuva? That the Yodea Ta'alumos, the one who knows all, has to be able to be meyid, has to be prepared to testify about me that I'm changed forever, that Hashem can look at my heart, and when I said I'm going to change, I really meant I'm going to change. So Rav Chatzkel Sarna said to Rav Shlomo Hoffman as a young man, he said, why do you have to be so machmir like the Rambam? Why can't you be mekel like Rabbeinu Yonah? We're mekel like Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva says that what's considered tshuva, not ad shi yodea talumos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify, she yeir love yodea talumos, that Hashem will testify that you're changed forever. That's something to be sad about. That's hard. That's really hard if we're going to paskin like the Rambam. But Rabbeinu Yonah said that what is tshuva? Yisyatzev al derech hatov. That I'm just taking the first step in the right direction. I'm asking my coach, how do I get home from here? Because the coach says, you can do it, you can do it. Just keep running until you get home. Yisyatzev al derech hatov. Find the proper path. Whereas the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, that Yom Kippur is mechaper l'shavim, to those who are returning, not to those who have returned. We don't have to be all the way home. But we have to take that first step. Rabbi Akiva, the Morid de Tshuva, tells us, Hechzik b'derech, if you set your mind on traveling, if you pointed yourself in the right direction, then it's ki'ilu already there. So I leave you with one final story, and then we thank Rabbi Eitan for his beautiful negunim and the beautiful slichos he'll lead us in. I heard this from the person who was there. Someone went to be by the kever of the Bnei Yisachar. He went to the kever of the Bnei Yisachar, and when he got there to daven, he saw someone that he knew. He sees this guy, he's standing by a young man, I don't know, 18, 19, 20 maybe, standing by the kever of the Bnei Yisachar, davening, tehillim, crying, really, really into it. And he looks at this person and he says, hold on, I know this guy. This is that person from the neighborhood's son who's been off the derech for years. I know this person. Haven't seen him in 7, 8, 9 years. I know this person. And he waits till the fellow finishes davening and he goes over to him, standing by the Heilige Kever of the Dinever, the Bnei Yisachar. And he says to him, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in years. His facial expression asked the question, like, when did you become from? So he says, someone told me something, and then I decided to change everything. He said, I met up with someone else along my journey, as I was straying, as I was wandering. I met up with someone who I also knew from the old neighborhood. And he told me something. He said, you know, I don't want to pressure you in any way. I'm not trying to put any ideas in your head. It's just important that you should know that from the time that you kind of left home and left the community and left your Yiddishkeit behind, you should just know that your parents have left the door unlocked for the last 8, 9 years. They don't sleep with the door locked at night. Because one of their greatest fears is what happens if one time our son needs us and our son has to come home. And when you come home, home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to let you in. He said, your mother, your father, they're so scared. What would happen if, God forbid, you show up? Even if it's 3 a.m. Even if you're drunk, even if you're high, even if you're not wearing a yarmulke, even if you don't look Jewish, even if you didn't keep Shabbos, even if et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, your parents are so scared. What would happen if you put your hand on that doorknob and you found that the door was locked? You should just know your parents are waiting for you to open that door. He said, when I heard that my parents have been sleeping for the last 7, 8, 9 years with the door unlocked, because they know at some point I have to come home, because tshuva demands of the Jewish soul that I have to come home. He said, when I heard that, I decided I need to change everything. And I came back. And now I'm the type of Jew who stands and cries by Kibbutz Tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give us the strength. This night means a lot to us and it means a lot to you. You're waiting for us to come home. We're not going to be cynical, no matter how long or how short we come home to visit. Even if we're hechzik b'derech to leave the house already, we're already cheshbening what we're doing in cheshvan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yimincha pshuta l'kabel shavu. Your hand is outstretched for those who want to return, those who are trying to return. Like Rabbeinu Yonah's parish, like Rabbi Akiva's parish. Like that coach coaching of Ephraim Goldberg's 6-year-old son. Just keep running till you're home. I don't know how to get there. You'll get there. Kadosh Baruch Hu, stretch out your hands to us tonight, and please help us to come home.